Professor Dumbledore has granted me permission to start this little dueling club.
And with that, welcome to the Dueling Club, learning one spell at a time.
Hi, it's Dueling Club.
It's Jen.
And I'm Al, and it's a Saturday. I'm tired.
Me too. But I got us some Dunkin' Donuts.
Yep.
This is not a paid advertisement for them or by them, but we just enjoy their frozen drinks.
True.
But, I mean, if they want to sponsor us, I'm not going to say no.
Anyway.
I now have a free drink for them, so that's good.
Nice.
That just means I've spent too much money.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what that means, actually.
So, sorry, we've been posting very little. Again, work, and Christmas just passed for us.
It's the holiday season. Yeah. It's really hard for us to find time that isn't filled with family stuff, basically. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, wanting to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep is good. We need that.
Yes, because we also have to work in between, because we're not big wig enough to be able to take off between Christmas and Thanksgiving, really.
Well, the cool
Christmas
thing is,
and New Year's.
The cool thing is that by May, we can, if we really have to, can do work from home together.
Not on days that are considered required. Mm-hmm. And so on the 31st,
yeah,
everybody has to be at work who hasn't already asked for the day off.
Well, that's fine. I'm just saying.
On the 24th, the same thing, because it's a floater. If it's a floater day, people who are supposed to be there have to be there.
We're talking about different things right now.
Okay.
I'm saying starting May,
mm-hmm,
we can both work from home. Because I can't yet. Yeah. You can. But starting May, we can do work from home so we can both be here with our monitors next to each other.
Yes.
But then take our lunch together and record. So that'd be really sick starting May. So starting May, like, if we're not consistent, like, send hate mail, legitimately. Because that's just laziness then.
And we still haven't asked our boss if we can book one of the conference rooms and just record on one of our lunch breaks.
I've mentioned it a few times. You're like, no.
I'm going to ask her now.
Also, if you hear squawking, it's one of my pigeons. And by pigeons, I mean it's the cockatiel.
And if you hear anything else in the background, it's actually us watching Prisoner of Azkaban on TV right now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're about that life.
Yes. So we're very on brand.
Yes. So, Al, what's been going on with you?
Nothing. Just work. Learning new things, which is scary.
I know I taught you.
Uh-huh. That's really about it. Nothing has really gone on. I bought a really cool mouse pad for work, which is a squirrel wearing armor riding like a toad into battle. So yes. It's like a castle and fire in the background.
It's epic.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. So Christmas for me was as described. I picked up the boyfriend from work. And then we had to...
The presents.
I know. And then that was when we had to go on an adventure for 2 hours to go last-minute gift shopping because Amazon decided to screw us over. All right. It wasn't Amazon. It was more USPS.
Yeah. They just decided not to deliver.
Oh, they decided not to deliver, but to mark everything as delivered. So, in essence, the person who was supposed to deliver our stuff was probably contemplating stealing our stuff. Not gonna lie. So, earlier that day, I ended up having to call Amazon and complain my head off because I was like, you do realize these are Christmas presents and it is Christmas Eve. And now I have to go buy new presents. And they're like, well, we can deliver them to you. I'm like, can you guarantee they'll be here within the next 12 hours? No. Okay, so how does that help me? So they ended up refunding me, and lo and behold, the stuff magically appeared yesterday, or the day before yesterday.
Yeah, I filed an official complaint with USPS.
Mm-hmm.
And that process is very long, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Got a call from the local office manager, who was like, hey, describe your situation, please. So you know, two packages missing, but you only listed one. Well, it's two Amazon accounts because we placed separate orders, but I can give you that tracking number too if you need, really. But everything that was supposed to be delivered on Saturday isn't here.
It's Tuesday. Yeah, we see the person was on your on your street. That's great.
Yeah, and they're like, there's only a limited amount of delivery descriptions that we have. And I was just like, come on. Don't like, BS me.
You were here that entire day.
I was here. Don't BS me. Literally, yeah. Just don't. That's so disrespectful to say it's left in a mailbox. We don't have a mailbox.
Oh yeah.
Next door has a mailbox.
No, we. Oh yeah, you're right.
Next door has a. No, we have no mailbox. Next door has a small little mailbox. They can't do any packages.
Yeah, we have a mail slot in the door.
Yeah. So. Anyway, I was very polite with the woman, like very, very polite. I don't know why.
Way nicer than I was to Amazon.
Yeah, I was pissed, but I was very, really polite.
Well, because I literally let Amazon have it. You did. So, yeah.
Which is sad, because it's not their fault.
And I told them, I'm like, I know it's not your fault, but this is Christmas Eve, and those are presents. So now I have to go into the pandemonium that is Christmas Eve shopping, which I purposely tried to avoid.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do is start buying presents throughout the year.
Yeah, and that's what we've decided.
The issue, though, is it's impossible for our nephew.
Yes.
Because his interests change.
He's fine.
Weekly, basically. Yeah. So
what boyfriend and I have decided is that we're basically going to buy everything in November.
Yeah, that's smart.
Basically going to buy everything in November around Black Friday. Like, the last week of November, first week of December, and be done.
Incorporate Black Friday into it. That's smart.
Wrap everything that needs to be wrapped immediately, because I'm not going to be the person who wraps everything last minute again. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a problem being the person who wraps everything, but I spent hours wrapping presents.
Yeah, no.
For 2 seconds for everybody to unwrap everything in 2 seconds.
I tried to wrap presents.
Half of it was so beautiful.
Stop. Okay, so.
But yeah, but we went to his family's house. We came here after we did the freaking shopping trips of death. Because we ended up having to go to three places.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came here. And he was in a pissy mood. Because he didn't want to do the shopping and neither did I.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, but then everything was fine. We had a great time here with my family, and then we drove to New York, because we live in New Jersey, and then we drove to New York to see his family, and it was 5:00 in the morning when we finally went to sleep. It was a good Christmas Eve. Presents were had, everybody had fun, our presents went off wonderfully, so I'm just excited.
What was your favorite present?
My favorite presents are the ones from boyfriend.
Okay.
He did phenomenal. He always does phenomenally well with gift giving. Like, he's grade A wonderful boyfriend material. Okay. Like, I've stamped him with a sign of approval. He's stamped. He got me really pretty diamond and emerald earrings and a matching bracelet. And, like, because emeralds are my birthstone and diamonds are his.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was really cute. And, like, he literally said that because he's that into details. For me, anyway. So, I think that was definitely my favorite present.
Nice. I approve.
Especially since he kept asking me throughout the few weeks before Christmas, like, what do you like? What's going on? And I was like, babe, I'm going to love anything you give me. And I know that sounds like a cop-out, but it's not.
Yeah, no. People were, like, mom and our sister were asking, like, what I wanted. And I was just like, I don't really have a want for anything.
Presents.
Yeah. Because everything I want, I've bought myself.
Yes.
I wanted a Switch. Bought myself a Switch. Wanted a new monitor for my computer. Bought two. Like, you know, I can buy whatever I want. So realistically, there's nothing that I want.
Yeah.
I'm kind of bad for gift giving in that sense because, like, I'm crazy. So.
No. I have a friend who does the same thing. Like, he puts... Sorry, full mouth. He puts all of the things he wants on his Amazon wish list. Mm-hmm. And the more expensive stuff, he buys himself. Because he doesn't want anyone to spend $600 on something that he can get himself. But then Christmas time comes around and people in his family want to spend a little bit more money on him. Mm-hmm. So it's literally, he has to take it off immediately after he buys it, or else he might end up with two of everything.
I mean, the last thing I want is a new computer, mm-hmm. which if I want to, I can buy right now, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to.
No, you just got yourself a new laptop. For the time being, you can use the computer you have and the laptop to do the things you need.
Well, I think I'm going to sell the laptop. But that's a whole different thing. Come on. We're doing a Harry Potter podcast. We haven't looked at Harry Potter like at all.
And we're 11 minutes in. Yeah. Okay. So, yes, we are going to continue our deep dive into Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. We are now on season 3, episode 16.
Yes. Chapter 15.
The Quidditch final.
So just by the way, we usually would have like summaries written up, but we have very little time.
And work has been ridiculously crazy.
Yeah, Jen has finally caught up after 2 weeks of being behind, caught up at work basically.
And I've been consistently behind a day or two.
Yes. So she's been working hard. I've been learning, well, realistically, I've been learning how to do orders, like purchase orders. So like someone needs software, mm-hmm. they send that request into where we work, mm-hmm. and then the order gets placed. Mm-hmm. We have to validate, verify, submit the whole thing. So I learned how to do like easy ones, because mm-hmm. you can't learn the hard ones because you'll mess up and then that's money.
But you're at that point. Uh-huh. After having learned how to do a bunch of other things.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you're already actually, not for nothing, you're already ahead of schedule. You are currently a couple of weeks ahead of where you should be.
Well, our boss asked me, like, what are you ready for? And I'm like, anything, let's go.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
She's really good about making sure that you feel comfortable to move on to the next thing.
I only felt uncomfortable last night, and you know why.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a huge order. And it's like looking at an elephant and trying to figure out where to start eating the elephant. Like, there's that phrase, eating an elephant. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's literally what you have to do with these things. But I showed you the tricks on how to make it digestible. Mm-hmm. And then it went from, oh my god, this is scary, to, oh, this isn't so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that people who don't do that are crazy. The method that you showed me. Yeah. Anyway.
But I've gotten really good at Excel, so that's one of those things that I'm like, filters, remove data, do this, do that, manipulate everything so that you can finish faster.
Yeah.
And there you are.
So like I say, we just don't have time to write summaries. So right now we're using Wikibooks. They're fairly accurate and I actually kind of like them.
It is so much better than the Harry Potter Wiki.
Yeah. The Harry Potter Wiki is written with a slight bias and interpretive freedom in a way, like determining how characters feel from facial, like from making faces or whatever. Like a lot of that's interpreted, and I don't really like that.
Agreed.
This is more straightforward. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's fairly condensed, so we have more time to talk about details.
Yes. So let's get back to the chapter. Chapter 15, the Quidditch final. So recap of where we were last.
Was it Sirius Black with the knife and Ron? Was it the chapter before?
Yes. Well, the chapter before was, hey, Sirius Black was found over, Ron woke up because Sirius Black was over him with a knife.
That was two chapters ago.
That was two chapters ago.
But then the next chapter, the chapter before, started with Sleepless Night in Gryffindor Tower and all that stuff. Yeah.
So, they end up going to talk to Hagrid, and Hagrid is like, guys, I don't understand why you are treating this way. Exactly. Why are you treating Hermione this way? And they're about to reconcile with her, when they go back to the castle and there's a sign up for the next Hogsmeade visit. And Harry's like, yeah, I'm going to go. And Hermione's like, hey, if you don't tell McGonagall about the map, the Marauder's map, I will.
Yeah, and then Ron basically is just like, oh, you're such a bad friend, and she leaves. Mm-hmm. They go to Hogsmeade, and then they have the
floating head incident.
Yeah. And then, on the way back to Gryffindor Tower after all of that, they meet Hermione, and Ron thinks she's going to gloat, but she's like basically crying because it's a letter from Hagrid saying that Buckbeak is going to be executed.
So this is where we are. Harry, Ron, and Hermione.
They've basically made up at this point.
Yes.
So continue.
Well, they make up now.
Yeah.
So they read the message that Buckbeak is to be executed. Hermione is super apologetic, and she finally apologizes to Ron for what Crookshanks allegedly did to Scabbers. She doesn't use the word allegedly. I say the word allegedly. Because we only have some proof. It's all circumstantial. Yes, all of it points to Crookshanks having done away with Scabbers. But there's no tale. There's no evidence that suggests that... Well, there is. But there isn't enough. Okay? Ron is like, hey, Hermione, you don't have to do this alone. We're going to go ahead and look up the information with you to help with his appeal, because Hermione's like, I'm sure there's going to be an appeal. There almost always is. So that's where they're at. They want to go talk to Hagrid, but they realize that they can't because security has gotten way more tight now since the second appearance of Sirius Black in Hogwarts. Goodness, I can't talk right now.
No, you can't.
You know what it is? I haven't taken my allergy pill in like 2 days. Let me find it now to take it. And on top of not having taken my allergy pill, I haven't taken my... sorry, my inhaler yet.
Okay, so where you left off, I'll read and you do your stuff.
Yes, please.
So where did you leave off?
I left off at... So there's tighter security measures, so the only time that they can talk to Hagrid is during Care of Magical Creatures class.
Okay. Hagrid says losing the case was his fault. Facing the black-robed committee flustered him, and Lucius Malfoy's presentation was so smooth, they simply ruled in his favor.
So he actually says he forgot everything Hermione looked up for him.
Yeah.
And he got so emotional that he just started blundering around, and... They basically did whatever Lucius Malfoy said.
Yep.
Which makes sense because he's one of the sacred 27.
And a school governor.
How many is it? 27, right?
Yeah, 27. Okay. And he's a school governor. Wait.
Was a
school governor. He still has ties to the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. Hagrid starts crying and runs off, causing Draco Malfoy to make a snide comment, which I think, like, if I find it, I think it would piss me off too.
So, he's not, it doesn't, he does what Draco does. He basically kicks people when they're down.
Have you ever seen anything quite as pathetic, said Malfoy, and he's supposed to be our teacher. Anyway.
And he says this loud enough for the trio to hear.
Yeah.
Purposely.
So.
Because Draco doesn't do anything that he doesn't want a reaction to.
Mm-hmm. Hermione slaps him across the face. Draco, with his sidekicks in tow, retreat in confusion.
So hold on a second.
Yeah.
Let's go through this real quick.
Uh-huh.
Everybody automatically assumes that Ron and Harry are going to have a reaction to Draco, because they usually do. I mean, the eat slugs thing, what happened last mm-hmm. book, because, you know, he used the M word. So to have Hermione, I can't talk today. To have Hermione basically react out of character and slap the ever loving fluff out of him, because it's super loud to the point where the characters stop, all of them. And we're like, what are we supposed to do? And Crabbe and Goyle look at Draco to see what's next. And Ron is like, Hermione, and he like starts trying to hold her back, and she's like, get off me, get off me, and she goes to slap him again, and Draco's like, let's get out of here. Yeah.
I think that Hermione's reaction is basically mine in terms of like what she says. Mm-hmm. She, after she slaps him, and they're all, he staggers, and the other four, Harry, Ron, Crabbe, and Goyle, are like, what just happened?
Mm-hmm. Because Hermione's never done anything exactly like that before.
She says, don't you dare call Hagrid pathetic, you foul, you evil. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think that reading that, I was like, righteousness!
In the movie, they do it a little bit different.
Yes.
Where it's kind of sort of the same situation.
But they're a little further away.
But they're a little bit further away. It actually ends up happening later on in the movie than it does in the book. And she goes up to him, and she doesn't slap him. She punches him in the nose. And she calls him a loathsome cockroach. You foul, loathsome cockroach. Something like that.
Yeah.
But she punches him in the nose. And they run away, basically, kind of, like, screaming at themselves. And, like, and he's holding his nose.
Yeah.
Yes. But that's the one instance where, in the movie, I'm okay with the fact that they changed it a little bit. Yeah. Because I love that Emma Watson punched him in the nose. Because you can see her pull back and use her, her strength. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
there's just a lot of things about this movie that kind of frustrate me, but we'll get there. It's like literally how many episodes away? Like 4 or 5 episodes away. Yeah,
we've got a little bit. Okay, so following this whole episode, Ron, Harry, and Ron, and Hermione start walking up to Charms, and they get there a little bit late. And Professor Flitwick is like, we're doing cheering charms today. And Ron is like, oh, cool. Hermione could probably really use one. And he looks, and Hermione's not there.
Yes.
They and finish the like, class. They what, go to... what the heck? She was right behind us.
Yeah. They finish the class. They go to lunch. She's still not there.
No. They finish the class. Oh, no. It does say they go to lunch.
Ha ha.
Oh, she does miss lunch. Sorry, I've read it like 7 times this week.
Yeah.
So, and listened to it twice. I love Jim Dale. Anyway, so yeah, they're like, well, let's wait till the middle of class. And she still doesn't show up. They go to lunch. They're like, let's wait till lunch. She still doesn't show up. So after lunch, they go back to the common room.
Well, they decide to look for her in the common room because it's odd that she's nowhere to be found.
Yeah. So they they find her in the common room, and
she's asleep.
She is asleep on top of a stack of work, parchment paper and books, and they're like, Hermione, what are you doing here? And she's like, oh my goodness, I must have been so worked up about Malfoy that I forgot to go to Charms.
And they're like, apologize to Professor Flitwick.
Yeah, and they're like, how did you forget to go to Charms if you were right behind us? And she's like, oh, I should go to Professor Flitwick right now. I'll see you guys in divination. So she goes, and she comes. She goes to divination a little bit late, and she's like, oh, crud, I apologize, and he hinted, I should have been there. He hinted that cheering charms are going to be on the exam. Darn it. Darn it, darn it, darn it, darn it, darn it.
Yes.
Does pretty much her.
Yeah. Okay. So, divination.
Yes.
Professor Trelawney basically tells them that they should get along with crystal balls because crystal balls are going to be in the final. Or she's been told by the ether and the anima of the world that the crystal ball is going to be on the final.
And Hermione is like, psh. You're the one who makes the final. I love how Hermione gets so sassy in divination because she really hates this class. She thinks it's a waste of time. And the fact that she's clearly overloaded with work.
Yes.
And she thinks that this is a waste of her time is not boding well for this class.
Well, when Trelawney claims that she sees another Grimm,
No, she's like, oh my goodness, I see. She's like, don't say the Grimm.
the Grim! In Harry's crystal ball, Hermione protests, saying, like, come on. Like, enough is enough, you old fraud, basically.
Yeah, and this is when I have to... You have to give me your book. You have to, because I want to read this part.
All right, hold on.
I want to. So bad. Because I couldn't open it up fast enough here.
It's both pages, basically.
Okay.
Is, like, the entire scene.
Yeah, no. Oh, for goodness sake, said Hermione loudly, not that ridiculous Grim again. So, Professor Trelawney raised her enormous eyes to Hermione's face. Pavarti whispered something to Lavender, and they both glared at Hermione, too. Professor Trelawney stood up, surveying Hermione with unmistakable anger. I am sorry to say that from the moment you have arrived in this class, my dear, it has been apparent that you do not have what the noble art of divination requires. Indeed, I don't remember ever meeting a student whose mind was so hopelessly mundane. There was a moment of silence, then, fine, said Hermione suddenly, getting up and cramming, unfogging the future back into her bag. Fine, she repeated, swinging the bag over her shoulder and almost knocking Ron off his chair. I give up. I'm leaving. And Hermione literally leaves the classroom, and everybody is amazed. And then Pavarti, it's either Pavarti or Lavender, is like, oh my god, remember Professor Trelawney, you said one of us would leave around Easter, and she's leaving. And Professor Trelawney, I don't know if any of you have ever watched Monk, but she basically uses the Monk line. She's like, having the inner eye, it's a blessing and a curse. It's like...
Yeah, no, it's... That has to say something about the class itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hermione is taking all of them. And every the only place. One that she drops. And it's not because she's overworked, even though she is.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the class is so ridiculous that she can't stand it anymore.
No.
So, that definitely has to say something about it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. Says more about the class. Well, more about the class than Hermione. But it's like, damn, Hermione. We don't just do that. That's a no-no.
So, Easter holidays start, but few of Harry's classmates are relaxed. The third years have more homework than ever, and Neville looks like he might break under the load.
And remember that Neville still can't get into the Gryffindor common room.
He has to wait.
He has to wait for everyone.
Yep. Hermione has more work than anyone, and is first into the library in the morning and the last into bed at night.
To the point where if anyone talks to her, she snaps.
Yes. Ron has been working on Buckbeak's appeal in between his homework. Harry is trying to fit homework in between Quidditch practice. They are playing Slytherin, who are leading by 200 points the Saturday after Easter break.
And I love that Oliver keeps saying over and over again, so we need to win, and it's going to come down to you, Harry. Do not, under any circumstance, catch the snitch if we are 50 points or less ahead of Slytherin. Because if you do, then we will have won the match, but not the entire cup. Yes. Do you understand? And it's like, all right, Oliver Wood, yes. I understand that you want to win this, but Harry wasn't born yesterday. Yes. All right? So calm yourself. He will get his job done.
Well, this is the first time that Gryffindor's in the running for the Quidditch Cup. Or the House Cup? No, it's the Quidditch Cup.
Yeah, it's the Quidditch Cup.
Yeah,
the House Cup is a whole other thing. Yeah. The entire time...
Since Charlie, Ron's brother, was a seeker. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're fine. You're fine.
Yeah.
So he's... And this is Oliver Wood's last year. So he really, 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 really wants to win. But it's also been 7 years since
this is like a multiple eight, nine reason.
Years? 7 years? No, it was 7 years in his first year.
Yeah, so it's been
so nine years.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. The thing is that there's like a lot of reasons why Gryffindor wants to win this one. Number one, it's been so long since the cup was a thing. It's Oliver's last year, and It's a personal conflict between Harry and Draco at this point.
Yes.
Because they've been... Well, it's more of Draco trying to bite at Harry's heels. And Harry... He doesn't really, like, rise to it. But it still bothers him. And he still wants to, like, kind of teach him a lesson, you know?
Oh, yeah. Especially since... Come on. Like, Harry ended up getting... Being the youngest seeker in over a century. And then the next year, Draco is on the team, but you know that broom that Harry got that was the best broom, the Nimbus 2000, in his first year? Draco ended up getting onto the team because he bought the entire Slytherin team Nimbus 2000 and ones.
Yeah.
Like, he had to one-up Harry. And then on top of one-upping Harry, now that Harry has the fireball, now he's literally trying to do everything they can to hurt Harry. And to hurt the entire Gryffindor team.
Well, what they've done now is the Gryffindors act as, like, guards to the Quidditch players. You know, walking with them in a group to classes, when they have to go to the bathroom. Like,
they're it makes them late to everything, but
it's makes them late to everything, but it's protecting them.
Yeah.
Because Crabbe and Goyle seem to appear wherever Harry is.
And then they disappear. Slouch
away when they see that he's amidst a group of chattering Gryffindors.
Yeah. And Harry, in between classes, is more concerned about his broom than himself.
True. Because
in between classes, he'll go all the way back up to Gryffindor Tower to make sure his broom is okay.
Yep.
Which to me seems silly, because the only people who can get into Gryffindor Tower are Gryffindors, per what we found out in the last book, or somebody who has the password. And since Neville can no longer get the password, they're pretty sure they're safe with that.
True. Very true. But it's still, like, a really big concern.
Yes.
Because he's grown accustomed to this firebolt. If he has to use...
A shooting star.
One of the school's shooting stars, which is outstripped by a rogue butterfly. I think that their chances of winning with any kind of lead, or winning at all, is kind of nil. Mm-hmm. So, it matters a great deal.
So, it is so tense that... The night before, that even Hermione stops studying because she can't focus. And it comes almost as a relief once Oliver says, "Team, time for bed."
Yes.
So they go to bed, and Harry actually wakes up from this really weird dream where... It's the game day, and the Slytherins come in riding dragons.
Yeah.
And then he realizes that he's not on his broom. He's somehow forgotten his broom, and he starts plummeting to the ground.
Yes.
Super weird dream. But he wakes up, and he looks outside, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, there are eyes staring back at me. It can't be. It can't be the Grim. No, it's Crookshanks."
But...
Then he looks again, and Crookshanks is next to... A big black dog. He's like, "Wait a second. So it must be real. If Crookshanks can see
it..." So it's not the Grim.
It may or may not be. We don't know.
Well, no.
Can animals see the Grim? We never get that information.
We don't even 100% know what a Grim is. So, no, they never really say it's an omen. Is it a real dog that just goes, "I am now the dog of death," and, like, finds people? We don't know, really.
Do you know, I read an article a few years back where there was this cat in a retirement community.
Yes.
In an old person's home, where the cat was considered the omen of death, because she would go and lay down on someone who ended up being the next person to die.
Yeah.
And it turned out that she was actually laying down on them because they were fighting some sort of infection or whatever, and they were
sick.
Yeah, they were sick and were projecting more heat, so she would go to the person who was the warmest.
Yeah, basically. It wasn't anything supernatural about it, but it was factual.
Yes.
That whenever she would lay on someone's bed, that person would pass away next.
Yes.
So
maybe the Grim is like that.
I don't know.
Like a dog that's like, hey, you gonna die.
Well, the way Harry has been seeing it is very, like, momentary kind of thing. Mm-hmm. On Magnolia Crescent, he saw it, like, for like a second, and then night bus. Yes. Looked again, it's gone. In the stands for the game, mm-hmm. looks in the stands, sees it for 1 second, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
So, to me, it always seemed like a spectral thing. Mm-hmm. So then if Crookshanks can see it, it's not the spectral thing he thought it was. So yes. Maybe it's not the Grim.
So he tries to wake up Ron to see if Ron can see it too.
Yeah.
And Ron doesn't even... Ron wakes up for a second and then goes back to sleep.
Yeah.
And by the time Harry looks back at over there, it's gone.
Yes.
So that day, Quidditch final. Or, yeah, final Quidditch game. Whatever, same thing.
Yep. Against Slytherin.
And everybody's still super tense. And Oliver keeps telling them all to eat breakfast, but Oliver doesn't eat anything.
Yeah, but then Cho Chang...
Oh, yeah.
Wishes Harry good luck.
Remember the cute Ravenclaw...
Seeker.
Mm-hmm. So... That one.
They all, you know... They all go down to the pitch, including the team. They get ready. Is there a speech? Does Oliver have a speech? I don't think so.
He basically does the let's win.
No, isn't he like he tries to make sounds, but he can't?
Yeah, because he's super just ready for this to happen because he wants to win and he wants it so bad. Yeah, Cho says good luck. So Wood is like, locker room. And that's about it.
None of them spoke as they changed into their scarlet robes. Harry wondered if they were feeling like he was, as though he'd eaten something extremely wriggly for breakfast. And what seemed like no time at all, Wood was saying, okay, it's time. Let's go.
Okay. So I love that in the book it says 3/4 of the crowd was wearing scarlet rosettes and basically cheering for Gryffindor to win. Mm-hmm. And the other quarter were Slytherins.
Yes.
That's it. And this is the dirtiest game of Quidditch that has ever been seen.
I think Lee Jordan kind of sums up the game very aptly in the beginning. And here are the Gryffindors, yelled Lee Jordan, who was acting as commentator as usual. Potter, Bell, Johnson, Spinett, Weasley, and Wood. Widely acknowledged as the best team Hogwarts has seen in a good few years. And here comes the Slytherin team, led by Captain Flint. He's made some changes in the lineup, and seems to be going for size rather than skill.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense, if you're trying to bowl people, like get people off of their brooms.
Yeah, so it starts off well. We end up getting Angelina. Angelina scores the first goal. Goal?
Yeah, it's goal to correct.
10-0 Gryffindor. But yeah, Angelina is almost thrown off of her broom as soon as it happens, as Marcus Flint, the captain of the team, basically squashes into
Smashed into her.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, sorry, didn't see her. So Madame Hooch gives them a penalty score. A penalty shot. Okay. Gryffindor ends up scoring, so now it's 20-0.
It's so amazing. They both get penalties against each other. Mm-hmm. Because Flint smashed into
Angelina.
And then Fred threw his beater's club at the back of Flint's head. Yes. Smashing his face into the front of his broom.
So they both get penalties.
So they both get a penalty. So they get it to 20-0, and then Wood saves the penalty.
So it's still 20-0.
Oh, I love it. I love it so... Wood is so good.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
So then everything's happening again. Katie Bell has possession of the Quaffle. And then Montague, Slytherin Chaser... swerved in front of Katie, and instead of seizing the Quaffle, grabbed her head.
Yes.
She managed to stay on the broom, but dropped the Quaffle.
Wait, isn't Montague the captain?
Like, Montague was the captain.
In, like, the next couple of books, he's the captain.
Yes.
I'm fairly certain.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't know he played this early.
Well.
There you go.
So, another penalty.
Yep, shot. And Katie lands it.
30. Take that, you dirty cheating Jordan, if you can't commentate in an unbiased way, I'm telling it like it is, Professor.
Which is true, to be honest. He really is. There's no bias here. He literally is cheating.
Yeah. Because how can you say, oh, I thought the quaffle, I thought her head was the quaffle.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously? So, you know, that long hair that Katie has, you're going to assume that, that's what?
Yes, it's the quaffle hair. God.
Okay. Oh, my bad. So there's a bludger that one of the Slytherin leaders, Derek, hit towards Harry. And then there was a second one that was hit towards him by Bull, the other beater.
So the both beaters basically come at Harry with their clubs raised. Mm-hmm. And Harry's just like, well, good try. I'm on a firebolt.
And he gets out the way before they can do anything.
And they smash into each other. And Lee Jordan laughs. Pretty good.
He's like, too bad, boys. You'll need to get up earlier than that to beat a firebolt. And it's true.
True. So, unfortunately,
Flint ends up scoring.
Flint scores. Mm-hmm. So, 30-10. So, this is the dirtiest game that Harry has ever seen.
We've said this.
Yeah, but we've said it's a dirty game.
Yeah.
This is the dirtiest game Harry has ever seen.
Yes. So Bull, one of the beaters, hits Alicia with his club and tries to say that he thought she was a bludger. So her entire person, apparently, is a bludger now. George Weasley elbowed Bull in the face in retaliation. So both teams get a penalty. Wood pulled off another save, making the score 40-10 to Gryffindor. And unfortunately, Harry saw the snitch before. That's when the beaters were trying to get at him. And it had disappeared. And now it's gone again. But Malfoy is still keeping such a close eye on Harry that Harry can't really move around or see much.
Harry is, I think at this point, he's decided to fly in the opposite direction of the snitch when he sees it to sort of keep Draco away from the area that it is.
Yeah.
It's getting crazy. So after a couple of more goals and saves, we get to a point where Gryffindor is in the lead by 60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But because they're ahead.
Yes.
Everything starts going crazy again.
Yes.
So
Harry sees the snitch again.
Yes.
After the lead. So he can catch the snitch now.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to. And behind him is Malfoy, but Malfoy can barely keep up. And before Harry can get a hold of the snitch, Malfoy actually grabs his broom, like the tail end of his broom, and keeps him from accelerating.
And then the snitch disappears again, but Madame Hooch gives them a penalty. She's like, penalty, penalty to Gryffindor. I've never seen such tactics.
Yeah. Everyone is so mad on the team that even with the penalty, none of the chasers can make.
Yeah, because they're so upset. So, and I love this. You cheating scum, Lee Jordan was howling into the megaphone, dancing out of Professor McGonagall's reach. You filthy cheating but. Professor McGonagall didn't even bother to tell him off. She was actually shaking her finger in Malfoy's direction. Her hat had fallen off, and she too was shouting furiously.
Yeah, no, that's so awful.
So like, even McGonagall's like, this is a bull dookie.
Yes.
Notice how I censored myself.
Yes.
So, again, we're looking at Montague scores, Lee groans, now it's 70-20. So it's 50 points. Harry can't catch again. Angelina has the quaffle for Gryffindor. Angelina, she misses. Oh no, she scored.
Yeah, Angelina scores.
Yay, Angelina. So now it's that 60 point lead that they need, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's...
But then Harry see something that makes his heart stand still.
Mm-hmm.
Malfoy diving, a look of triumph on his face. There, a few feet above the grass below, was a tiny golden glimmer. Harry urged the firebolt downward, but Malfoy was miles ahead. Go, 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 Harry urged his broom. He was getting on Malfoy. Harry flattened himself to the broom handle as Bull sent a bludger at him. He was at Malfoy's ankles.
He was level. Harry threw himself forward, taking both hands off his broom. He knocked Malfoy's arm out of the way and... Yes! He pulled out of his dive, his hand in the air, and the stadium exploded. Harry soared above the crowd, an odd ringing in his ears. The tiny golden ball was held tight in his fist, beating its wings hopelessly against his fingers.
So, Wood comes running up to him, half blinded by tears. He's sobbing unrestrainedly, just super duper overjoyed. He feels two large thumps from Fred and George, basically clapping him on his shoulders. Angelina, Alicia, and Katie's voice is like, we won!
We've won the cup!
Yes!
We've won the... Every time I read it, I hear Jim Dale.
Yeah. And then Hagrid is super happy. And you know Hagrid was a Gryffindor.
You beat him, Harry. You beat him. Wait till I tell Buckbeak.
That's so cute. And Percy's jumping up and down, super happy. And all of his dignity's gone. He's just jumping up and down.
Professor McGonagall was sobbing harder than Wood, wiping her eyes with an enormous Gryffindor flag.
Because, as we know, she's also a Gryffindor. She's the head of Gryffindor House. Yep. Come on.
And there, fighting their way toward Harry, were Ron and Hermione. Words failed them.
They simply beamed at Harry, and Dumbledore stood there with the enormous Quidditch cup. And I love the way this ends. I just have to read it. Uh-huh. If only there had been a Dementor around. As a sobbing Wood passed Harry the cup, as he lifted it into the air, Harry felt he could have produced the world's best Patronus.
There you go. So this is apparently Harry's happiest memory now.
Aw, yay.
I mean, everyone was counting on him. Mm-hmm. Everyone. It's not like just a personal thing. And we know that Harry is... very selfless. Mm-hmm. So this was an important thing for him. Like, yes, he wanted to beat Malfoy because Malfoy's a douche. But he also wanted to do it for Oliver. Oliver, in his 7 years at Hogwarts, has never gotten the Quidditch Cup. Yeah. And not due to lack of skill.
But Voldemort tried to come back twice.
Okay, so maybe for like 4 years it was due to lack of skill on an entire team level.
Yes.
Because he didn't have a perfect seeker, and the seeker is like an integral part to the team.
The seeker is the one who can make or break the team.
Yeah, so he didn't have one, and he finally got Harry, but with Harry comes bad luck, apparently, where Voldemort appears every year.
Except for this one.
Except for this one. So far. Who knows?
I mean, we still have time.
I mean, we know, but so far. Yes. Anyway.
But technically, isn't he still there? Because Sirius Black is his right-hand man.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
So, he has the perfect seeker. He has the dream team, basically, which is what he's called it, I think. Mm-hmm. But they still haven't won from various circumstances. This is his last time. He loves Quidditch. He has never won the Quidditch Cup. This is a big thing for him. He instills that in Harry, how important this is to him. Mm-hmm. Right? It's also McGonagall. McGonagall also wants to win.
Yes.
She cares just as much as anyone. Yeah. So,
that's like, her house. Yeah. It's always been her house.
And those are her
so
kids.
So although she wants to be impartial because she's a professor, there's no way she can be.
No. And those are her kids, too.
Those are her babies.
Yep. So... they won the Quidditch Cup. Crookshanks and the Grim are homies.
yes.
And that's that.
Poor Buckbeak might die.
So we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.